Royal Dutch Shell is going to build a bigger boat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective. What's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Oil giant Royal Dutch Shell said today it'll begin building a giant ocean vessel designed to liquefy natural gas at sea. The vessel will be called Prelude. It could dramatically increase the supply of offshore natural gas. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest on that story. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So what more do we know about this big, big ship?
Well, we know, as you say, that it is going to be big, 1,600 feet long at least, six times heavier than the biggest aircraft carrier, and with a price tag to match, somewhere between $10 and $12 billion. As you say, it will liquefy natural gas at sea, so you don't have to pipe it hundreds of miles to the shore to be liquefied. Here's Nick McGregor of Brokers Redmayne Bentley.
Transferring natural gas from offshore oil sites onshore to liquefy it adds to the price. The idea here is that this will save that money and bring a lot of marginal natural gas projects into the investment horizons of the oil majors.
The plan is to have this huge vessel operating off the coast of Australia, supplying the fast-growing Asian market within 5 years.
Yeah, $10 billion is what we're talking about here, Stephen. That's a big investment. How risky is this?
Well, the risk is that shale gas will prove more popular. Extracting gas from shale is cheaper than importing LNG. Shale gas has virtually wiped out LNG demand in the US. Now, if China develops its shale reserves, that could be a blow. But Shell clearly believes that overall demand for natural gas is growing so fast, there'll be more than enough room for LNG.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
London, of course, is hosting next year's Summer Olympics. A huge event there will be the 100-meter men's sprint. Organizers have already received 1 million requests for tickets to the finals, but those hoping to see the event in person will likely be disappointed, the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
It's all about the opportunity to see Jamaican champion Usain Bolt, but the stadium holds just 80,000, and only half that number will be made available to the public. The other half has been allocated to sponsors, VIPs, media, and international fans. Gordon Lott is from Lloyds Banking Group, one of the sponsors of London 2012. He says it's a great event to host their corporate clients, but most tickets will be given to the bank's customers.
So we are already giving our customers the chance to win tickets, and we will be continuing to do so right through to 2012.
Demand for tickets across all events has been huge, with 20 million ticket applications in total. Concern is that other high-profile events like swimming and track cycling will be similarly oversubscribed, and they take place in even smaller venues. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares mostly higher. Bookseller Barnes & Noble may be getting a new owner soon. The retailer has a more than $1 billion offer on the table from Liberty Media. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 45 points. Closed, 12,605.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day. On the web at Manta.com.
Word today that Tokyo Electric Power, TEPCO, reported a $15 billion loss in its fiscal year. Japan's biggest ever outside of the financial sector. And TEPCO's president also announced he's stepping down because of the mess that is the Fukushima nuclear plant. A disaster that has a lot of countries thinking twice about nuclear power, but not Russia, which is pushing ahead with expansion plans, Peter Van Dyke reports.
The Kremlin loves nuclear energy, and it wants to make money out of it. These days, President Dmitry Medvedev says in a video on his blog, nuclear power is the most profitable way to make electricity. And the safest way, he adds, if the rules are followed. Russia aims for its nuclear sector to be a top export earner behind gas and oil. The state nuclear company, Rosatom, is now building 5 reactors abroad and says it has orders for 30 more. But Medvedev's pitch shows that the sales are about politics too.
Russia traditionally has tended to use commerce as a way of exerting its political influence around the world. So my guess is that the government, even now, would be prepared to take a bit of a cut on the profitability of these projects in order to spread its influence.
Derek Weaving is with Renaissance Capital Investment Bank in Moscow. He says Russian reactors are cheaper.
The technology that they sell is by and large less sophisticated. It doesn't necessarily mean it's less safe, but I think it would be a long time yet before Western governments have the confidence to give these contracts to Rosatom on its own.
To overcome safety concerns in the West, Rosatom will have to team up with companies like Westinghouse and Francis Areva. Russian environmentalists like Vladimir Slivyak of Eco Defense say the West is right not to trust Russia's safety claims.
This is why we're worrying about places like Belene in Bulgaria, in Akuyu in Turkey, in Medzamor in Armenia, because those places are with really high risk of earthquakes.
Slivyak is confident Bulgaria and Turkey will rethink their deals with Russia. Weaving disagrees. He says governments struggling to cut carbon emissions have little choice but to go nuclear. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, Oprah Winfrey recorded her star-studded Chicago finale that'll air this Wednesday. Aretha Franklin was there, Stevie Wonder, Tom Hanks. You know who didn't make it? The Spearings of Ontario, Canada, who went to Chicago for the taping. Well, Mr. Spearing told Mrs. Spearing that he had tickets to the show, and he told Chicago police he was beaten up and robbed of those tickets. But it was a hoax. Spearing didn't have any tickets. He made himself look like he'd been attacked. So instead of seeing Oprah, Spearing spent the night in jail for filing a false police report. His explanation? He didn't want his wife to be mad at him. We've got some pictures of Oprah's extravaganza at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There's a town in Ireland called Moneygall. It's pretty far off beaten path. The president's going to visit next week, though, and things might change.
You know, it will be all, the gold will be left out. It will be all money, 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 money.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, putting Moneygall on the map and the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street, all of that jazz. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.